Mobile communications have been crucial to the world's armies ever since runners were scurrying back and forth behind battle lines. If 20th century communication was dominated by radio, 21st century could be the smartphone era. Lieutenant General Michael Vane is one of the Army's top leaders, trying to bring technology to the battlefield. And he joins us now with details of how smartphones are going to help soldiers. General, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, good morning, Amy. Tom, thanks for having me back.
Smartphones for the Army. That almost sounds like a luxury, but you're talking about this as a tool. Tell us about how that would work.
Well, what we're doing is we've established a concept exploration activity called Connecting Soldiers to Digital Applications, and we're exploring the value of these technologies to both the individual soldier and leader in about three major categories. First, looking at new training approaches that allow us to learn anytime, anywhere. And secondly, how can we use these smartphones potentially in an operational environment that allow me to leverage commercial and civilian infrastructure in countries we might be operating and not have to bring all that infrastructure with us in our own capabilities. And then lastly, how can we use these smartphones to develop means to rapidly update and share information at a fraction of the traditional costs of traditional methods.
And so how are you going about developing applications or testing them? What's the process here?
Well, what we've done, Tom, is we've set up 8 pilots over the course of the last year or so, looking at both training applications and operational applications. And inside of each one of those pilots, we've established a set of metrics. We've issued soldiers these smartphones, and in a very controlled environment, disconnected from the network so far, we're evaluating now what's the value to a sustainment soldier, what's the value to a military police officer, what's the value to an individual soldier or team leader inside of an operational platoon. And we've now completed 2 of those pilots. We've still got the other 6 to complete, and we'll start assessing then the specific cost-benefit value of smartphones inside of training and operational environments.
Yeah, I was also wondering about the ruggedness of the phone itself. How would it be able to hold up to the rigors of what a soldier would be going through?
Well, I think that is one of the things we're going to evaluate as we've looked at this in these two environments. But interestingly, how much it costs to buy a small cell phone as opposed to how much it costs to buy the larger radios today, there's pretty significant cost difference. So if we can even get a year and a half's use out of a small radio for a fraction of the cost of a larger radio, there may be a business case there as well, even if they don't last the typical 10, 15 years.
And we're speaking with Lieutenant General Michael Vane, Director of the Army Capabilities Integration Center. And I wanted to ask you about the connectivity issue, because when we use smartphones, ordinarily it's on, you know, Sprint or Verizon or AT&T's network. In somewhere like Afghanistan, it sounds like you would need to tie them into, say, the Army's own radio network and somehow get the signal out that way. So how would they work? How could they be adapted to the communications you actually have available?
So we're building the networks even today in Afghanistan that allow you to do both. So, over 70% of the countries around the world today have already moved to 3G networks in their urban areas and littoral operations. And, in fact, some of them are moving at a pace faster than even the United States exhibited early on. So the networks are out there. They exist. And if we can make our military networks able to interface with commercial networks, we can save the government, our own government, as well as the countries we operate in, probably a great amount of money after we complete the cost-benefit by leveraging those commercial networks.
And that would be where you would run into a big security problem, though, too, or challenge, let's say.
Possibly. Again, I think I've said this before, but we sometimes look at the security problem as one of only having to require ourselves to secure the transmissions means, instead of looking at the problem a little bit differently and recognizing what we're really interested in securing is the data. So we have secure networks, and we're going to continue to need secured networks. Move data that's classified to the secure networks. and then leverage unsecure networks with unclassified information. That becomes our bigger challenge, I believe.
It strikes me that when you talk about smartphones and apps, you immediately think of 20-somethings, you know, the youth of America, and these are the people that the Army would really like to see come into their ranks. Did that factor into this at all, that these are the way, this is how they communicate now anyway?
Absolutely. Social networking is here to stay, Amy. And so that was the idea I had a year ago, was how do I bring the Army into that environment, recognizing 20 to 30-year-olds are already learning this way? They all, you know, when they pick up a new piece of equipment, they don't read the instruction manual. They rapidly go to the piece of equipment, the smartphone, and if it's intuitive on that smartphone, they learn how to operate it through a combination of interaction with the machine and recognizing the icons. That basic philosophy of learning is a different way of learning than some of us who are in our 40s or 50s have grown up learning.
And are you getting cooperation or at least high interest from the manufacturers of these devices? Because there's a fair number that they could sell to the Army, but in terms of their consumer business, it's not all that big.
All the companies have been very cooperative, and of course what we're trying to do is establish an environment and the conditions that allow us to use whatever kind of smartphone might come out of industry. So we're not establishing these pilots and this proof of principle that's based only on one particular company's type of technology. The soldiers are the ones who are also giving us just tremendous feedback, both in the training environment and the operational environment, the two areas that we've done this piloting and concept exploration. We've received tremendous feedback from soldiers about, hey, the Army's in the 21st century. Hey, the Army's putting themselves in your pocket, the Army in your pocket. Hey, the Army's leveraging new ways to distribute training material. And in the operational environment, we're finding that the lowest level leader really sees great value in this for operational planning and execution. Down at the very lowest level of the individual soldier, we're finding the value there is more in planning and in collaboration. And when it comes to execution, probably not as much value.
So what's the timeline? Is this something that's happening even as we speak, or is this a plan for future? What are we looking at?
Well, we're doing the pilots right now, Amy. And like I said, we've completed two already. We have another six that will be completed over the next 3 or 4 months. We will then do the evaluation and bring to the senior leadership decisions over the course of this summer for, you know, how do we, what's the application? Where does it make sense? Where is there a business case that would make sense for the Army to do it? Of course, our going in plan is to make this a neutral business case decision. So, you know, leverage another program that this might displace or another way of disseminating either training information or radios that this could either augment or displace. And hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll have gotten to the senior leadership a set of criteria that allows them to make decisions.